Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain, and lift to thy God to order and provide in every change. He faithful will remain. Oh, be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joy. Leads to a joyful.
Praise the Lord. Today, we will continue with the third message in the series entitled God's Perspective on Plagues and Pandemics. We will cover the subject of the Chinese coronavirus and the importance of not giving over to the wrong kind of fear. We will also dwell on the importance of having the right type of fear. This morning I'd like to speak on the Chinese coronavirus. In the Chinese coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic, there is things going on all over the world that is more than just the disease in itself. It's affecting every part of people's lives. And very evidently, there are some, especially the wicked, they would like to blame it on God and call it acts of God. I thank God for our president, which stood up and immediately answered that this was not an act of God. And so I thank those that are in office that believe in the Lord and that stand with the truth and with the Lord about what is going on with all of this. And I thank God for a president that calls things for what they are. I have received many messages about the economic chaos in different countries, with the stock markets plummeting like they have here, and other stock markets crashing around the world, and thousands of people losing their job in the wake of this scourge of corona, and what appears to be remutating itself. This virus is real and has caused panic around the world. But it does not take a rocket scientist to figure out that at least here in the United States, behind all of this, there is a hidden deep state working hard to unseat the president, as they have up till now, ruin our economy if that's what needs to happen, in hopes of affecting the next elections. No doubt these back players continue their agenda toward a new world order. Enough of the headlines. Although I'd love to share on many of these things, I want to stick to my perspective that will come from what is written in the Word of God. Because, see, that's what gives us the answers. That's what shows us what we must do, where we must go, and what we must not do. Now, I'm going to make a categoric statement here that we will either live by faith in the Lord of the whole earth, or we will have to live under this panic, dread, and fear that is spreading. So, in the first part of the message, I'm going to address fear. Too many people haven't come to the place where they realize that this fear doesn't come from God, but it is a spirit. It is a spirit that doesn't come from God, but it is a spirit that's very real, and it is a spirit that affects many people at many levels in life. He doesn't wait till you're grown up and have any way of defending yourself. He starts even when you were a child. Fear used to grip me as a child. I don't know if it's inherited or not. Sometimes I think you just pick it up by being with people that are fearful and you become fearful like them. However the case might be, God was very clear in telling us that this fear should not be in our life. So I want to speak about fear, because this is one of the things that is gripping the people the most and bringing most hysteria in the world of the coronavirus. And so whether you have it or don't have it, fear isn't going to help us. Fear isn't going to take it away. If they're filled with fear and dread, the scientists aren't going to be able to work peacefully and quickly at coming up with an answer for it, or an antidote for it, or a vaccine for it. Because fear has a way of paralyzing. Fear has a way of numbing. Fear has a way of just leaving you immobile. And so people won't be able to do what they need to do. If first responders were totally hysterically fearful of getting this thing, who would they help? Who would they go to lend a hand to? This fear would be so terrible that you wouldn't walk in public. You'd see someone that was Chinese with a mask on them, and you'd go 20 yards around them, like people that don't want to see you anymore and cross the street, not to say hello. This fear will make you do strange and horrible things, but one thing that I discovered that it will never do for you is anything good. It will never heal you, it will never strengthen you, it will never assure you, it will never give you peace. It will never bring back what you've lost. It will never give you back your job. It will never give you back your health. It will never do anything good. So why give over to it? And over 300 times in the Bible, it speaks of fear. And God has many things to say about fear. I'm only going to mention a few later on because we can't just take on the whole Bible here. But fear is a very real subject. Fear is something that grips the hearts of human beings. If there is something that Jesus repeated more often than anything else was fear not, or why did you fear, or why did you allow your heart to be filled with fear? God sees that fear is a direct enemy to faith. One thing I know, that where fear is present, faith is not robust. Faith is not strong. Faith is not sometimes even present. I mentioned last week about who will believe our report, says the Lord, in Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Apparently, many do not even have a knowledge of God's report, nor have a personal revelation of the absolute power of our sovereign God to do the impossible. This is a point I want to make this morning to all of us. And that is the fact that to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We've had a revelation of the power of coronavirus, COVID-19. That's been revealed to us. The power of death has been revealed to us. How about the power of God? Our God, when He has revealed to us personally, when we've had an encounter with God, and He has revealed to us personally His right hand of power, how He could melt down this virus with one word around the world, how He could stop this thing, how He could change it. Right now, He's inspiring scientists and immunologists around the world to come up with answers for this, and we already have the answer. Long before they create a vaccine to stop people from getting it in the future, they already have the answer. All I want to say is that we have a revelation of the natural, but God is the one behind the scenes giving this inspiration to these people to come up with things. So this one has two parts of it. One is, who's believed the report of the Lord? And the second one is, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I believe that we need to have a revelation of the power of God. In Isaiah 59, verse 1, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. That's why we've had a time of prayer this morning, because I believe that what we say, I know I have already, because if I know that I have what I say, he will do it. So I believe God's word. I believe that his arm is not shortened. I believe that his ear is not heavy. I believe that he is not a God that can't hear. God informs us that his spirit is dwelling in us and frees us from the power of sin's consequences and of death's consequences. Last week we referred to Romans 8, verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I believe this coronavirus, COVID-19, is a law of sin and death. I believe that it is an agent of destruction, and I believe that it's an agent of death as we see around the world. This is a law of death. And it says here that the Spirit of life in us, in Christ Jesus, that dwells in us, will free us from this horrible spirit of death, this law of death. This includes the virus, plagues, pestilences, weapons of violence, and all that brings death because of sin. That is why he told the prophet to announce to the world and to his people that no weapon formed against them would prosper, that nothing that would be said against them would be taken against them, that everything that would rise up against them in judgment, that they would defeat. I praise the Lord that he has the answers for every moment in life. And we are never without the answers. God beforehand has given us his answers, and they're all in his word. The word of God opens our hearings to the truth and produces faith and makes us triumph over the world's evil. We need to continue interceding for those who live without our God and without our faith and without our hope. Because there's a lot of fear, panic, hysteria about this Chinese COVID-19 virus and the devastating ramifications in the economy. The reason for fear in the people of God is because our attention is focused on the kingdom to which we don't belong. God wants us to quit looking at the kingdom of darkness. We have been drawn out of the kingdom of darkness. We are not to fill our mind and hearts on what the devil is doing. We belong to another kingdom. So the Holy Spirit whispered into the heart of Peter one day as he was penning in 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own and special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." For over a year, we've been on a series of the kingdom of God. Something about this kingdom, it's a kingdom of light, not a kingdom of darkness. It's not a kingdom of death, it's a kingdom of light. It's not a kingdom of sickness, it's a kingdom of health. It's not a kingdom of poverty, it's a kingdom of wealth. It's a kingdom of righteousness, it's a kingdom of joy, it's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of everything this kingdom here in this world is not. This is a kingdom of darkness. It is the absence of joy. Because whatever frivolity and whatever fickleness of joy there is in earth, it is only a passing, fleeting moment. And then it's all gone. And in exchange for that moment of joy is a life of heartache and sorrow. And I want to say today that this world does not belong to us. So the more we borrow from it, the more we look at it and observe it, the more we will borrow from it. It's sadness, it's sorrow, it's devastation, it's sin, it's wickedness, until it overwhelms us. And until all we see is darkness all around us. It just seems like there's just no hope for anything because we are observing a world we don't belong to. We belong to the world of light. We need to fill our hearts with the light of love. The light of the gospel, the light of Christ. He said, "I am the light of the world, and this light is the life of men." We're focused on darkness. We're focused on diseases. We're focused on the economy collapsing. Our economy isn't here. God says that we have been given through Jesus Christ out of his riches and glory. Not his riches in this world, not his riches here down earth, but from his riches and glory. God will not be the debtor of anyone in this world. I am convinced that the great part of the church has stopped believing emphatically in the infallible word of God. It contains so many of the precious promises and covenants, and as a consequence, so many have no sure anchor that holds them in the tempests of life. Why do people seem to have lost their anchor in this tempest? It's because we've quit believing in the infallible word of God. We have come to a place where we just read it and don't believe it. We read it and don't think it's real, but it is. The last thing we want to do is allow fear and panic to grip our hearts. In Job chapter 3, verse 25, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me." I think it would be a very wise thing not to fear the coronavirus. "And what I dreaded has happened to me." Can I suggest, don't dread this virus. Don't look at it as something that has power over you. Look at it as something that you have power over. Just think of it a minute. If we are children of light, If we come from a world of light, if we belong to a kingdom of light, and this virus is in the kingdom of darkness, does darkness have power over light? Or does light have power over darkness? Go into the darkest, dampest basement where you can't see your hand in front of your face, where you can feel the darkness, where not one little ray of light comes in. If you should strike the smallest match, that little tiny burst of light, a little bit bigger than a pinhead, will suddenly illuminate that whole darkness. And as fast as the light came in, the darkness had to leave. There was no fuss there. There was no argument there. None whatsoever. No one heard voices saying, "No, I'm not leaving." "Yes, you are." And then we go from darkness to twilight. And then from twilight to dawn. And then from dawn as you fight. No, it's instant. We're children of light. We've been translated into the kingdom of light. Where you walk, you take light with you, and whatever's happening with the darkness around you has to come under the power of that light that is within us. When did we quit believing? We need to stand in the power that God has given us. Who has seen, who has had a revelation of the power of God? Job said, "The things that I feared have come upon me, and the things that I've dreaded has happened to me." Verse 26, "I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. Things are happening all around me. I'm dreading, I'm full of fear." I love the testimony on Sid Roth that Meter left for us. She tells that story. It is so beautiful. In fact, you can go on YouTube and you'll find it under Sid Roth's It's Supernatural. "Jesus walked up to me and what he did next will leave you in tears." That's the subject of it. But I would just like to repeat some of it to you this morning. Kim Meter was on a walk through the wilderness, which she often liked to do. And one day she was confronted by a mountain lion. She remembered right then the words of her Indian grandfather, who was a hunter and trapper, who told her that if she was ever encountered by a bear, and she did, to look down, turn quarter shoulders, letting him know that you saw him, and then redirect and slowly leave. He also told her that if she ever saw a mountain lion, it was because she had been targeted for an attack. If not, you don't see them. They're very elusive. In that case, she needed to make herself as big and as tall as possible and as visibly as possible and maintain fierce and direct eye contact and not back up whatever she did. He told her also not to worry, because if you do not act like your prey, you won't become prey. And I believe that those words are fitting for us today. They're very apropos, because too many of us are walking around thinking that we're prey. We're walking around acting like we're afraid of the thing. One day while Kim was walking through the wilderness, she stumbled across a set of 5-point small elk antlers sheds that were on the ground, and she picked them up. And of course, being of Indian descent, she just thought this was a marvelous gift that God had dropped in her hand. She was just walking around praising the Lord, thanking him for this nice gift. Then she heard God's voice saying, "I am so angry because the enemy is afflicting and killing so many of my people." He is looking upon the church worldwide now, where we can't even have services and where the enemy is just having a field day and God is angry. Let me tell you, if God is angry, when he starts moving in his anger, you don't want to be there. You don't want to see what's going to happen. So I don't think we should fear the virus. I think we should fear what God's going to do to all these wicked men while this is happening. This is what we should be worried about. Then she heard God's voice saying, "I'm calling on everyone who is called by my name to stand up and fight and drive out the enemy. Take back the land." Hallelujah. I hear those words in my spirit today. Then just as suddenly as she'd heard his voice say that, she heard him say, "Look." And there at the 9 o'clock mark was a crouched mountain lion waiting for her to pass by for his attack. Little did she know these antlers would become her weapons in a few minutes when confronting this lion. She followed her grandfather's advice and became very aggressive with it, lunging at it with a set of antlers she had that she found lying on the ground. And at first the lion called her bluff. But then she rose up high and with a loud shout against the enemy came at it, slamming down antlers toward it that she had in her hand. And this time it bounded off or bolted off. If you're gripped by fear, you'll become chow. If we stand up strong and fight with the weapons that God has given us and become strong, That's how we were praying this morning. We weren't praying as little wimps that were afraid of getting it. We were afraid that the devil was going to get it. We were handing it to him. And I believe we're going to get the answers to our prayer. Now I'd like to continue on with fear and say that there are bad fears and good fears. We only focus on the bad fears. We think that fears that exist in the world are only evil fears. So there are bad fears, like the fear and dread, panic, torment, alarm, pandemonium. And then there are good fears, the reverential respect and fear of God. Bad fear does not come from God. Here are a few references of bad fear. Haggai chapter 2, verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. I'd like to stop for just a minute and say, the spirit of the Lord still dwells among us. Don't fear. The spirit of the Lord is still with us. Remember Romans 8, 2. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, which we quoted a while ago, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not fight or tremble in dread before them. For the Lord your God, who goes with you, he will not fail you or abandon you. I believe that's a word that we should have highlighted in every one of our Bibles. He will not fail you. He will not abandon you. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. What God is basically saying here is that if there's no relationship between us and God where you feel secure in his love, you feel secure in the fact that his spirit is in you, he loves you, you're his child, and he's going to treat you better than you've treated your child, because he is an awesome father and we are not. The Holy Spirit is more awesome than any mother to take care of every single one of us, and he will never leave us. And so we need to be perfected in that relationship with God in order for fear not to grip our hearts. So just allow God to do that. But now, on the other hand, I would like to say something about this good fear. There's an absence of the good fear in the church. There is an abundance of the bad fear, but there's a lack of the good fear. And one of the things that has left the church without the good fear is seeker-friendly preaching that today makes no mention of any kind of reverential fear. They fail to mention sin or the fear of God or the severity of God or even repentance. And yet it says in Exodus 20:20, do not be afraid. Listen to this. Write this down. Exodus 20:20. Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you and in order that the fear of him, in the Amplified, it says, that is a profound and reverential fear of him, will remain with you so that you do not sin. Don't have the bad fear, but have the good fear, because God wants the good fear to remain with you so that you will not sin. That'll keep you from just wallowing in sin the rest of your life like there's no tomorrow. Luke 12, verse 4, I say unto you, my friends, do not be afraid. That's the bad fear. For those who kill the body and after that have no more power that they can do. I will show you who to reverently respect. That's a good fear. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say unto you, have the good fear of him. Respect and fear the one that can do something with you after death. Don't fear the coronavirus. Don't have the bad fear. Don't fear what men are going to do to you. Don't fear the New World Order. Don't fear the wicked. Don't fear those that are doing crimes against humanity, because their power ends at the grave. But my power works before the grave and after the grave. Fear me. So the Lord is saying, do not have the bad fear that doesn't come from my spirit, but have the right fear, which is a reverence. A reverence to not sin openly before him and stick it in his face. Verse 5, I will show you who to reverently fear. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast into the hell. Yes, I say unto you, fear him. Verse 6, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Verse 7, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't have the bad fear, therefore. You are more in value than many sparrows. So God here is differentiating between the bad fear and the good fear. I am convinced that in our church today, we have not given the people the opportunity to know that good fear. And because we have not given them that good fear, they have a license to sin. They have a license to live in sin. They have a license to live in a way that gives the devil a right to come into their life and bring all this destruction. I thank God that our messages are laced with repentance, forgiveness of others, receiving forgiveness for ourselves, laced with moments at the cross, where at the feet of the cross we lay bare the things of our life before him in that relationship of knowing one another. David said, Lord, search me. See all the wicked things that might be in me. Bring them out to the light. I want you to deal with them. I want you to do something with them. I come and expose myself to you. I can't see what there is because I'm blindsided to myself. I think too much of myself. So, Lord, you search me out. You look at the things that are there. That's what God is talking about. God is talking about people who have been taught to present themselves at the foot of the cross and lay bare their life before him and let him deal with them concerning certain things of their life. When I gave a series of messages on God's perspective on mourning and grieving, we got to a place where we began to talk about when people meet with God in heaven and they have this life review. And a lot of people took aversion to that. The truth of the matter is, if we don't have a life review here at the foot of the cross, we're going to have one there. Because at some point or another, we cannot enter into a God of truth unless we come into truth about ourselves, about life, about everything else. We can't live hiding behind things. Sometimes people use fear as a way of hiding from God, as something that we put up, a curtain that we put up between us and God. Oh God, I'm afraid. I can't go there with you. I'm sorry. You know, but there's others that are willing to confess to him what they are and say, God, find anything more you can find. And I find sometimes that people, especially friends and others, are very good at finding things in your life you didn't know you had. We need to bring those to God and say, God, I don't see this. I'm not aware of this. I think they're just full of hooey. However, what sayest thou? That's the King James Version of, Lord, what do you say? Give me your take on this. And you know, half the time I cringe when I hear these words. Yes, they're right. And it's like, oh my God, not one more thing to deal with. But you see, we can also put up a front. We can also tell them to shut up and they don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea what went down here. They don't know me. Only God knows me. Really? That's why David was smarter. He didn't go to people to find out who he really was. He went to God and said, God, you search me because I know you're the truth. I know you're going to tell me how it really is. But you know, this part has been conveniently left out of the gospel of our land. This kind of preaching has been left off because it's not seeker friendly. People won't come anymore. Preaching needs to be balanced with the truth of repentance from sin, but also faith in the finished works of Jesus Christ. A truth that produces a healthy fear of God in the hearts of people in the world that is shaken to the core through this pandemic plague is the very thing that needs to happen. God says, I will heal your land the moment. Start seeing a people repent, humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will heal. God is saying, I'm looking for something. I'm looking for repentance. We need to talk to other people, whether they receive or reject it, because they're going to need it. The laws of health, economy, and order are much different in the kingdom of our Father, God, than those of the world. We need to listen to what God says about these times, like this coronavirus plague. Like the people in Israel did in Egypt in Exodus 12, we need to apply the blood of Jesus Christ on our eyes and ears, the entrances of the spirit man. Do you remember in the first message we spoke on this? Why the blood? Because Jesus destroyed death and the powers of darkness and every work of the enemy through the blood of the cross. The power of the enemy's weapons, like viruses, have been stripped away from him. Now the church has the authority of Christ to enforce this triumph upon the dethroned rulers of this world. I want to read it from Colossians 2, from the Passion Translation. Through our union with Him, we have experienced circumcision of the heart. All of the guilt and power of sin have been cut away and is now extinct. And it wasn't because of something good that we have done, but because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. Verse 12. For we've been buried with Him, immersed in His death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with Him when we believed that God raised Him through His power from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grip, but now we've been resurrected out of the realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of our sin. And though through the divine authority of His cross, He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood as an edict against us, He erased it all. Our sins, our stained soul, and our shameful failures to keep His law, He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto His cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness. Let me repeat that. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers of principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not the prisoner. They were His. And I just want to say today that, as I mentioned before, we need to have a revelation of the right hand of God. We need to have a revelation of the power of God. If indeed these spiritual authorities were decimated, if He made fun of them and paraded them around like a bunch of sick losers, then what is this coronavirus? What is this COVID-19 that has afflicted the world and paralyzed it in fear, when we have a God that by a snap of His finger can bring an end to all of this? Praise the Lord. God is going to judge the wicked. In this worldwide shaking, God will summons His earthly and heavenly armies to bring justice to the wicked. I am convinced of this. In Joel chapter 3, verse 9, proclaim this among the pagan nations. Prepare for war. Stir up the mighty men. Let all the men of war come near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Hurry, come, all you surrounding nations, and gather yourself here. Bring down, O Lord, your mighty ones, your warriors. Verse 12, let the nations be stirred to action and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge and punish all the surrounding nations. Verse 13, put in the sickle of judgment, for the harvest is ripe. Does that sound like today? Come, tread the grapes, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow with the wickedness of the people, and the wickedness of the people is great. 14, multitudes in the valley of decision of judgment. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision, when judgment is executed. Without going into the details, I want to say that the remnant of the Lord here and around the world have been crying out for years for God to do something about this evil and corrupt and wicked people. Our prayers have begun to be answered. It is already happening. This is a blow to the New World Order. God is turning back the Antichrist timetable in the world. He is giving the world yet one more short period of time through the plagues of the apocalyptic writers to repent and come to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is imperative that Christians ask God for the salve of revelation to see and perceive. That's why in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, God says, I counsel you to buy of me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich with white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness
may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with a salve that you may see. What are we to see? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I think the time has come, folks, really it has, where we have to understand that God wants to reveal to us His powerful right hand. Not the devils, not diseases, not plagues. They're in the world. But God has heard the prayer of the righteous. I know for a fact that even here for the last two, almost 3 years, we have cried out earnestly and intensely for God to clean the swamp, for God to do away with all of these abortionists out there killing all these beautiful little innocent lives. We have prayed that God would clean up all the corruption. We have prayed that all the crimes against humanity would be addressed by God and that He might do something about it. Let me tell you, God began to do something about it by giving us the president that we have. God says, awaken my army, go forth, turn your swords into plowshares. That means Christians to pray, to start calling on God, not wimpily crying out and asking Him, but bringing the kingdom of God down to earth. The kingdom of light is going to rule. Listen, before all this is over, the kingdom of light is going to rule in this kingdom of darkness. Jesus Christ will reign from Jerusalem and around the world. Righteousness will reign. Righteousness will rule. The King of glory will have His hand. We will have a world that is brought and subjected under light, under power. There will be no disease like there was in the wilderness. There will be no weak person in the wilderness. There will be no lack of clothing and covering. There will be no lack of clean, healthy water. There will be no lack of clean, healthy food. There will be no lack of anything because the King of righteousness will rule in our world. We know how all this ends. Right now, He's only pushing it back. Will it stop? No. Will it completely do away with anything? No. I'll tell you one thing. Regardless of how the world goes, we don't belong to it. This is not our home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm just walking through it. You know, I might come back to it. May God help us to be the ones that come back with those that ride on white horses with weapons that the world doesn't even know about. It's never even entered into their mind. Where a word comes forth and fire comes out of the mouth and millions die. God has the answers. To whom has the right arm of God's power been revealed? God says, come to me, ask me for salve for your eyes. You need revelation to see things from the standpoint of the kingdom of light and no longer the kingdom of darkness. Amen. Thank God. Father, I give you praise today because you're in control over all this thing. I thank you that you're in control over this coronavirus. I thank you that you rule the world. I believe you. When you say that you rule the world, I believe it. Your ways are not our ways. Neither are your thoughts our thoughts. You are in control of everything that's happening. Why you let this happen, I don't know. Why this epidemic has to happen, I don't know. Because my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. And I say, rule on, O King Eternal. For in the hands of your Son is the scepter forever and ever. And unto Him has been given and granted power over all the nations. And every knee shall come and bow and say that you are the Lord, the God of all heaven. And I give you praise today, Lord, in the name of Jesus.